You are listening to Zoom, the Retro Comic Book Show.
Welcome to Doom. I'm your host, Timmy Doom. This episode, I'm going to review Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe number one. And as I'm doing this, Deadpool Kills the Universe number two is already out, but I'll review that tomorrow. Some news. Let's see. Yeah, because I've been falling behind. I will have the next episode of Quantum Suckage coming out soon. As soon as I can find the issue, the comic book issue I'm supposed to be reviewing next, I misplaced it. That's my Quantum and Woody review, so look out for that. Anyway, as I was saying in the news, looks like, what's his face, Matt Fraction is going to take over Fantastic Four and FF, the two comic books written by Jonathan Hickman. And, I don't know, man. Well, even though I was dissatisfied with issue 608 of Fantastic Four, or 607 with Black Panther on the cover, something is telling me to get all the Fantastic Fours I can with Jonathan Hickman. Even though, to tell the truth, he does the best kind of stories, that I like in comic books. He does done-in-one issues. A lot of his Fantastic Fours were done in one issue, and one of them even had my favorite bad guy, one of my favorite bad guys, Arcade. I mean, how could you go wrong? You got Arcade in a Fantastic Four versus the Fantastic Four in one issue, and it's done. But for some reason, that was some of the stories. The two stories I read by him were underwhelming. Well, the three stories I read by him were underwhelming, but for some reason I feel I have to read more, because I have to get the FF, the Future Foundation, and the Fantastic Four comic books. I have the latest issue of Fantastic Four. I'll review that tomorrow too. I'll either review it tomorrow or the next day. I'll probably do it tomorrow along with my review of Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe number two. But in the meantime, more news that is related to that. Matt Fraction taking over Fantastic Four, but also the FF. But the FF comic book is no longer going to be the Fantastic Four. It is the Fantastic Four, but it's like it's a team of substitute superheroes. The Legion of Substitute Superheroes, remember them? That's what this is. Fantastic Four is always a stand-in. I'm not Fantastic. She-Hulk, who is always a stand-in for Ben Grimm, which I'm okay with that. She's an honorary member of the Fantastic Four. But then you got this other chick who's wearing armor. See, when I looked at this cover, I was like, what the fuck? Is this a joke cover? Okay, because you got She-Hulk standing way off in the background. What's his face? Ant-Man, not even a real Ant-Man, Scott Lang. And he's up there in the sky with some kind of weird, some kind of weird pink laser rope around his body. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And who's the other two? Oh, one was this girl. Another one in the new FF is this woman. Well, actually, it was the thing's body with a girl's head on top. It's the weirdest thing. And it was, this is drawn by Mike Elred, which I think is a mistake. Well, I don't know. Actually, I think he's a great artist, but that cover looks so wacky. It looked like one of his covers of Static X or X Statics, whatever they were called. And it's like, what the fuck? That's all I got to say about it. What the fuck, okay? I like the idea of Fantastic Four being in both comics, the FF and Fantastic Four comics, because I like that kind of thing where you got to see, you can get 2 a month of your favorite comic and you see how that one comic relates to the other. I like that. But now these are two separate teams. So that's, and I'm not excited about the FF comic book. I'm not going to get that. And I forgot who the fourth member was. That's how forgettable it is. But Matt Fraction is taking over that comic book and he's leaving the Defenders. He's leaving the Defenders because it was canceled. With the 12th issue of the Defenders will be the last issue. I read the first issue only of Defenders and I was unimpressed with that. Let's see what else is going on. You know what? Oh, I was listening to another show about fandom. It's called We Nerd Hard. It's unique to me because it has four hosts. They're all black, you know, two black women and two black guys it's this guy, Elon James White, who's great. Okay, he's a great podcaster. He has a political podcast called Blacking It Up, or This Week in Blackness is what it's called now, This Week in Blackness. But on the weekends, he does We Nerd Hard, and you get to hear voices. This is the first black fandom podcast that I really liked besides my own. I would check out We Nerd Hard. But I listened to an episode yesterday, and I thought this was very interesting, the argument they brought up about Marvel movies. There was a panel at the San Diego Comic-Con about, it was basically, I think it was called Where's Our Black Panther Movie? That was the name of the panel. So you know there was some angry black people on the panel, all pissed off. And they talk about that. They start to talk about why there is no Black Panther movie, what was said at that panel, and why there's a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, but no Black Panther movie in the works. Here's the clip. The clip is about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, but I think it's interesting because I want to say something after the clip is over with. So here's a segment of We Nerd Hard.
Did you hear about that story that came out of Comic-Con? About how hard is it to make a Black Panther movie?
Yes, I actually read that article this morning.
Oh, did you? Oh, did you?
Yeah, the Where's Our Black Panther Movie?
Yeah, apparently there was a story that came out and they were talking about what some of the producers over at the Comic-Con was talking about, and they flat out kind of like they were saying how hard it is to make a movie like that. It's really, 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 really hard to make a Black Panther movie, but
it doesn't have the notoriety.
Right, but apparently they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Right.
So
they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie based on the strength of Marvel versus Capcom. People know who Rocket Raccoon is singularly. No one knows who any of the other Guardians. People go, that Rocket Raccoon is from Marvel versus Capcom. That's it. I defy most people to tell me 3 out of the 5 people on the poster itself for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, apparently Marvel co-president Louis Esposito spoke with MTV News before the announcement and was evasive about both projects. But he said, on Guardians, he said, that would be Marvel in space. That's a great concept and a great idea and potentially one of our films in the future. And it's actually happening now. We know that. And as for Black Panther, he noted, T'Challa has a lot of the same characteristics of Captain America. Great character, good values. But the movie might be difficult to pull off, he said, because of having to create Wakanda from the ground up. It's always easier basing it here. For instance, Iron Man 3 is rooted right in, here in Los Angeles and New York.
But they made Asgard.
When you bring in other worlds, you're always faced with those difficulties.
You have to. Now, the thing about...
Okay, that's not like a cop-out.
No, it's not a cop-out. I hate to say it. We live in America. Americans don't like things. They don't mind wacky stuff. They don't like things they already know being changed before their eyes. Now, Wakanda, we know, is the most technologically advanced continent and part of Black Panther is the most country in the world.
Right.
In Africa.
Right.
How are Americans supposed to believe that? And if Africans are a bunch of savages with spears, how the hell is
Americans?
They
can't suspend
Abraham
their
Lincoln
disbelief.
Vampires,
they can't
Claire.
Suspend their disbelief at least a little bit to watch a movie about a
superhero. I could easily write that story.
I could me too, yes.
And the thing is what I would do, it would end up doing, and what this will be what probably would get me in trouble, is that I would mock Americans for not knowing about other places.
Yeah.
And so that would be the gag.
That would be
like I've never heard of Wakanda. It's like, yeah, point out like something so on the map. What? Like the point is that we just don't know about that type of stuff. So
that was a running gag in the Avengers cartoon. Like the first thing they were going to meet, they were going to Wakanda, and Iron Man was like, "What is this Wakanda? We're just gonna touch down there. They ain't have anything." And they immediately got hit by lasers. the regular Africans just had lasers on the tip of their spears and shot down the Avengers plane immediately. Right. Iron Man disrespected everything about it and got shot with lasers. So. Yeah,
and the idea that they aren't really big on connecting with the outside world and stuff like that. They don't like they could easily create this world. They don't really need trade. So why would people deal with them in that situation? You could easily write a story about this the city of Wakanda that completely exists and a lot of people wouldn't know about it. I don't understand like, the idea that they think. That won't fly, but a goddamn raccoon.
I understand. I'm explaining to you their rationale. It's lazy as all hell.
Yeah.
It's just lazy. You can write a Black Panther story. We can get Rocket Raccoon's story.
Extremely.
And you get Rocket Raccoon and
Asgard was fine. Asgard with a goddamn rainbow bridge. That is okay. We can create that world, but a technologically savvy African country. That shit is fucking impossible.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, it's that same old thing where... Okay. This is a... It shouldn't be a touchy issue, but it is kind of a touchy issue for me. Black Panther, white... I don't care if they make a Black Panther movie because I'm afraid they're going to fuck it up. Okay? A whole black nation ran by black people that is the most technologically advanced in the world. No. Okay. White critics had a problem with Eddie Murphy's Boomerang because in the movie there was this successful advertising agency in a skyscraper high-rise building and it was all black people who ran the company, all black people who worked at the company from the mailroom up to the CEO of the company. And critics had a lot of problems with that. You got a successful advertising company and there's no white people at all in the company? It's like, dude, it's a movie. Suspend your disbelief. Okay, you live in a white world. You get to see all white companies all the time. You get to go to a place and see all white if you want, or at least 99% white. So what? So why can't we have a movie with a black company? They have a problem with that. White people are definitely going to have a problem with Wakanda in a movie, including starting with the producers and the movie heads. They're going to be like, no, we got to change this. And they'll probably make it like a average village, you know, that is not technologically advanced at all, just an average African tribe. And T'Challa's parents are killed by Claw because he's always the bad guy in Black Panther movies. That's another reason why I don't want to see a Black Panther movie. Fuck Claw. And they're going to make him the star of the movie and he's going to be totally uninteresting because he's a totally uninteresting character. He's going to kill T'Challa's parents and T'Challa is going to be like Batman when they find this vibranium or whatever the source is, he'll destroy Claw and he'll become rich and he'll be like Bruce Wayne in Africa. He'll be like Batwing. They'll change it all up. So I don't want to see him fuck it up. So I'd rather them not do it. And I'd rather see Guardians of the Galaxy because it just sounds like fun. Okay, period. I just want to go to movies and forget white and black because there's going to be a lot of arguments. There were arguments about Samuel Jackson being Nick Fury, even though he's been Nick Fury in the comics for 10 years, you know, in Ultimate Comics. And that is Samuel Jackson in those Ultimate Comics. But anyway, so what was else I was going to say about that? Yeah, I don't think it's fair of them to compare Marvel making Guardians of the Galaxy, but not Black Panther. I just don't think it's fair. Because look at it like this, okay? When I was a kid, if everything that I was interested in had an alternative black cast or a black alternative black comic book to it, I would have read that instead. Not because I hate white people, but because I'd rather see me, okay? But I didn't have that choice. First of all, when I look back at the TV that I watched as a kid, a lot of it was reruns of old black shows because I was so starved. Anything with a black person in it, I would pick it up, you know, and check it out. So, yeah, if there was a black Spider-Man instead of, and as, you know, flip side of Peter Parker, I would have read. If there was a black comic book company like a Milestone, I probably would have read all of those. But being into science fiction and fandom and comic books and all that, you're going to have to, being a black sci-fi nerd or any other race that isn't white, you had no choice but to watch and read about white characters, and you get to know and love them. White people don't have that option, or they don't have to have that option. So they just saw white from beginning to their adult, from child to grown adult. So they never even thought to think, what is it be like to see a whole black cast or all black movie? No. It's like, no. That's growing up, if they saw a movie with all black cast, oh, that's a black movie for black people. That's one movie out of 700 movies that are out there. All the other 700 movies are made for real people, white people. And that's how they see it now as an adult. So why would they go see Black Panther? And they would be like, Africa? No, Africa. Just like they said in the podcast. But I don't think that podcast was fair. That's the point I wanted to bring up. I don't think it was fair to say that we should shove a Black Panther down white people's throats. Because that's what it's going to be. They need white audiences to... They're not going to get a white audience. And I don't blame them saying, if we're not going to get a white audience, why do it? The reason why Blade was successful is because... Wesley Snipes had crossed over. I mean, he got mainstream acceptance, but on top of that, it was a movie about killing vampires and nothing but killing vampires. With Black Panther, there comes an issue of race and success, and nobody wants to deal with that. So that's my rant. I didn't even intend for it to be that damn long. Dang. On to my review of Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe. Okay. So let me... You know what? My notes aren't up, so here. Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, number one. There's a tight-ass cover by Carol Andrews. Great art. He's the one who did... I can't even remember the name of it. He did the art for the Spider-Man story short. I mean, like, it was a mini series. It was basically like the Dark Knight Returns, but for Spider-Man instead. And Spider-Man's life was a lot more pathetic than Bruce Wayne's life as a 50-something-year-old man. But anyway, back to Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe. I got it for the same reason that most people in the 70s used to go watch grindhouse movies. Because this cover looks like the poster of a 70s drive-in horror or over-the-top action flick. basically a bunch of characters from the Marvel Universe screaming in horror, faces in mask and armor tattered in the background, while in the foreground, Deadpool stands there with a sword in one hand and the Hulk's head in another hand. Yeah, so basically this is exactly what the movie is. It's an over-the-top action flick or B-movie, something like a Pink Flamingos or an old Chop Saki movie from the 70s, or just one of those gore movies by David Cronenberg, or you know what, whose name I was going to say? The guy, Bob Clark, one of his old movies. It's Deadpool, kills the Marvel Universe, blood splattered all over the title, and it delivers on what it said it's going to deliver on. Deadpool beheads the you or two of the Watcher. He squashes one of the supervillains who is a mainstay in the Marvel Universe, and he commits mass murder. Now, obviously, this is an alternate universe, which I think is kind of a cop-out, but at least by that, you can see him do his thing. The only problem with that in doing his thing is it's all style over substance. Okay, and here's my nitpick. This is the thing that it took me out of the story. Okay, you can have an over-the-top thing like this, especially since you could do what you want to do in an alternate universe and still have a good story. But you can still have style and still have substance at the same time. But the problem is the thing that took me out of the story at the very beginning, that it opened with the killing of the entire Fantastic Four by Deadpool. And the problem was when Deadpool killed Johnny right in front of the Invisible Girl, and she didn't do anything to stop him. And that's the problem right there. Okay, she had just seen that her husband was killed, Ben Grimm was killed, and she walks into another room where she knows Johnny is screaming for help, and she runs to go help her brother, and she's invisible in the room. She walks in and looks, and next thing you see is Deadpool talking to her as he's lifting her brother up by his hair, put the sword to his neck. She does nothing. Then he slits the throat, and then that's when she makes Deadpool head explode in an instant. It's like, you could have done that before, or there's a thousand things she could have done to prevent that, and that just takes me out of the story. It sucked. And I know you, and this is the problem, you know why he did that? Okay, the reason he did that is because he wanted this badass panel, and I could tell just by reading because he didn't succeed at getting what he wanted from the artist, but this is what he wanted. She's standing there, because what happens is he cuts Johnny's throat and blood jets out from the throat onto his sister, to Johnny's sister, Sue. She's covered in his blood. What he wanted was Deadpool couldn't see Invisible Girl, so there should have been a panel with nothing there but the background, and you saying, okay, what's standing there? He slits Johnny's throat, blood splashes up. The next panel, you see an outline of Sue Richards with blood. Just the blood is the only thing that is defining her shape there, because she's invisible otherwise. That's what he wanted. I can tell that's what he wanted. But the panel that he was given by the artist still looks like shit. It looks like shit. Because they fuck it all up, because she's not totally invisible. Besides, you just see her. You didn't see a panel before. You just see her, which basically an old version of Sue Richards with splatters of blood on her face. He's going for style over substance, and he got none. He got no substance, and he got no style. And that's it. And the other second vital half of this is Charles Xavier. It flashbacks to what started all these killing. Charles Xavier and the X-Men take Deadpool to a hospital for the criminally insane. And of course, Deadpool is not insane. He's a Robin Williams, if Robin Williams was funny. And that's it. He cracks jokes all the time, and that translates to crazy in the Marvel Universe. Or it translates to crazy when it's convenient. That's why that sucks. That's why that part sucks. But it starts to pick up when, actually, I shouldn't say it picks up. It delivers on the gore and the over-the-top violence. That's what I got to say about that. And it could be a lot of those B movies in the 70s that we like, they had problems too, okay? But even the good ones didn't have that much of a leap. You know, when, I guess you could say this is the equivalent of a B movie. Fuck it. I had a little bit of fun with it. The covers, the art. Let's see here. Kara Andrews does not do the inside art. It's another artist called Dalibor Talijic. And his art is decent. It's decent. Okay. But I guess if you really like Deadpool, get it. You will like it. I recommend it. But I'm not going to say turn your brain off. I'm just saying get it. Forget about the parts that don't make sense. And just say this is stupid comic book, you know. And on a scale, let's say this, on a scale of 1 to 5, I give it 2.5 stars. And that's for the gore. And that's just the first issue. Second issue is out already. I didn't expect it to come out this soon. But it looks like they're going to be coming out weekly. And that's interesting. That's pretty cool. By October, the trade paperback will be out of Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe. And I'll bring back the review for Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe Part 2 on the next episode. So check that out. And I'll try to get that Fantastic Four, because this is one of the last Fantastic Four comic books written by Jonathan Hickman. Have that review for you on the next episode also. So if you have any questions, comments, go to the website and post on the post thumcast.blogspot.com, or send an email to blackpun2000@yahoo.com. until next time, peace.